And is everyone here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let them mute it out.
Okay. And the call is about to begin. So what I would like to ask is for anyone other than Gail and I, if you would be kind enough to push 6 on your phone, and that will mute you for the call. And then at the end, when we take some questions, you just have to push 6 again, and then we'll be able to hear you. And I may have to repeat that if people come into the call. If people come into the call late. So for those who just entered, if you'd be kind enough to push 6, we would appreciate it. That will mute any background noise, and we won't have to listen to babies, grandchildren, or barking dogs. Okay, good evening, and welcome to the second NABBW teleconference call for this month. We really try very hard to educate, empower, and enlighten women at the association, and this is one of the ways that we enjoy doing it. It has been brought to my attention that some of the women who are members are not able to be on the call, and we're aware of that, so we always supply the link at a later date in an email, and then all calls are archived on the member benefits page at NABBW, and I know that some of you have never been to that page. Shame on you. And if that's the case and you try to get to the page and you can't, please email us, and we will tell you exactly how to do it because we want everyone to take advantage of the benefits. But what we also just became aware of is there are a couple members who do not have the capability to listen to the download at a later date. So beginning with tonight's teleseminar, we're going to start transcribing them. And in addition to sending a link, you'll be able to read them in a PDF file, which is just like a Word document. And that way, if you don't want to listen and you prefer to read, you can read and gather the information that way. So we're always trying to do our best to make the members happy, and we appreciate any testimonials that you have about the association. If you've been happy with something and you haven't told us and you'd like to tell us, if you look at nabbw.com, you'll see where we list testimonials on the site, and we'll also include a link to your site along with your testimonial, so it's another way to get your link online. So please do that, and then we also ask that you would tell your friends to join us, and during this month they can join, and actually the new members receive, the people who are joining will receive an extra book with membership, which is the Baby Boomer Almanac by Tim Broulis. And then in addition to that, if you refer them, you'll also get a copy of that book. So I was busy mailing books and packages today to some members for referring friends and to others for the other people who are just joining. Okay, that's about it. It's not necessary for me to go through my bio because you all are familiar, and we don't have any people on the call this evening who are not members, and sometimes we do. So what I'd like to do now is just introduce Gail Patterson, who is our guest for this evening. And then after I introduce her, I'm going to interview her, and then followed by that, we'll take some questions. We work really hard to make these teleconferences worth your while, so we would also like feedback about them. If you have any, we'd like to receive that by email. Okay, so Gail Patterson is a native of New Jersey and a longtime resident of Clinton, New Jersey. She was born into the atmosphere of a small family-run gift manufacturing business and learned at an early age what trade shows, customer relations, and the business world was all about. At various times in her life, she was more or less involved in the family business as she grew up and then started out on her own. Gail has over 30 years of experience in both small businesses and large corporations. From her roots in the family business, she moved on to work in a nonprofit organization, worked as an educational publisher, an international technology company. She worked for an international technology company and a startup pharmaceutical company as a medical education publisher. And most recently, she worked in a Fortune 500 managed healthcare company as a corporate trainer. So as you know, training goes very well with coaching. She has been the sole proprietor of her own women's resale store and is currently the sole proprietor of the Wise Woman's Way, which is her coaching business. And this is what she's on the call to talk to us about tonight. So her wide-ranging business experience really lends itself well to her ability to work with people from all areas of the business world, and especially midlife women. I think it's important that you know that she's married to her high school sweetheart and has two grown children. But in addition to that, it's important that you know that she takes her job very seriously, and to keep her coaching skills sharp and just to be able to offer her clients the most up-to-date information, she continues her education and training. And I'll just give you a few examples of how she's done that. She is a certified Freedom from Smoking course facilitator for the New Jersey American Lung Association. And that's interesting because that has been a pretty hot topic in the forums at boomerwomenspeak.com recently. Women are trying to help one another quit smoking. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. She is also trained as an English as a second language instructor, and she regularly attends seminars and conferences all over the United States. And she has studied with the best of the best. And I'll mention some of these names because I know there are some other coaches on the phone, and this may mean something to them, whereas to some of us lay people, myself included there, I might not know who some of these people are, but I know they mean something to others. So she has attended seminars with Joan Borisenko, Caroline Miss, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and she also attended the inaugural weekend seminar to I Can Do It, which was produced by the Louise Hay Foundation in Atlanta, Georgia. She is also coached herself, so that's an interesting thing that you should know about her. Not only does she coach, but she's also coached by someone else. And she, you know, gains tremendous satisfaction from coaching women at midlife. So anyway, her web address is wisewomensway.com, womansway.com. And she can be reached through her site. So what she would like to do for those people on the call and members of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women is to offer anyone who's listening tonight or who is a member of the association a complimentary session. And when you go to her website, you can sign up for her free newsletter, and you'll receive a free ebook. So if anybody's in front of a computer, you could look at her site and see what you have in store. So, okay, enough of all that. That's taken about 10 minutes. So let's get on with the information. Gail, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, thank you, Dotsie, and I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome, and it's good to have you here. I guess the first question is, you know, how did you become a coach? Because I think it's very important. There are lots of coaches that are just popping up all over the place, and not are there only coaches for our personal lives, there are coaches for our business life, and you know, it seems like the coaches are really breaking out into different areas. So I'm always interested in learning, like, how you become a coach. So if you would tell us a little bit of that, that I'd appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there are different avenues to become a coach, and, you know, different people can go at it in different ways. For myself, I attended a school in New Jersey, which mm-hmm. is accredited through the International Coach Federation, and it was important to me that I attend a school that was recognized by that organization.
Okay, Gail, do you mind speaking up just a little bit?
Sure.
I'm having a hard time hearing. I'm sorry, and it could be this phone, but go ahead.
All right, can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
Well, I attended a school here in New Jersey, which is accredited by the International Coach Federation.
Okay.
It was important to me that I go to a school that had was recognized by that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different ways to do this. Some people attend school online, almost completely online, and others prefer to physically attend. And I knew myself well enough to know that I should attend and have a definite curriculum and deadline for accomplishing what I needed to do, because I was concerned that if I tried to do this online, I might end up just going on forever and ever, and I wanted to to get the studies done in a reasonable amount of time. So I attended 3-day weekend events, as well as doing weekly coursework and telephone work throughout a 9-month period, and then had an oral exam and a written exam to get my certification. And it was a very good education, not just in how to be a coach, but also learned quite a bit about myself in mm-hmm. the process, which made it even more interesting.
Good. Okay. And I think that's something that we should point out that is important, that if you are hiring a coach, because I know more and more women are being coached by someone they find online, and the coaching is being done over the phone, myself included. And I think it's important that we know the background and whether or not these coaches are certified. So that's one thing that we should all look out for if we should hire a coach. Okay, anything else that we should look, you know, that we should be aware of? I mean, you mentioned the International Coach Federation?
That's right.
Okay, do they have a website?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And it's you can either Google it, International Coach Federation, or it's ICF.
.com. Okay, and do they have a listing of coaches that are certified with them, or how do you find out if someone's certified?
Right, well, they do in fact have a listing where, mm-hmm. and my name is in there, if you want to look for a coach for certain reasons.
Okay.
A business coach, or a life coach, or a spirituality coach, or mm-hmm. different reasons. And you can go in and do some selections in that part of the site, and they will help you match up with someone who fits the bill for what you're looking for.
Okay, that's important.
You have several people to pick from then.
Right.
With their web address and phone number, et cetera.
Okay, that's good information. I'm learning, so that's, I love to learn new things. okay, anything else you want to tell us about the certification? Or, you know, if someone, say, on the call is interested in becoming a coach, the place to go would be to that ICF.com, and they could find enough information there?
I think they would be able to find information about other schools.
Okay.
Because there are several out there that are quite reputable, and, you know, either you can physically attend or you can do most of the work online. It depends on what works for you in your life. And the ICF site should be able to help them locate those schools. And then by going to that school's site, you can find out how they present their material and how to go about taking their training.
Okay. All right. Now, this next question I think is interesting because I was in the hospital in the emergency room, not for myself but for someone else just a few weeks ago, and the doctor looked like he was about 18 years old, and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I know I'm getting older, but I just could not believe how young this person was. So, you know, I imagine hiring a coach is similar to going to the doctors and, you know, finding a doctor for a certain ailment or whatever, and you want to know what kind of experience your doctor has, how long have they been in business, and is it true of coaches that you get those same types of questions, and hopefully you wouldn't take offense if someone was coach shopping and asked you those questions?
No, you really ought to do that, because okay. Just as you may not click with the doctor you go to mm-hmm. Or some other professional of some type, you know, you may or may not click with the coach right away, and in fact, if you shop a little bit, you may find that you know, you hit it off with someone. And it's important to have a good relationship with the coach, because you'll be working with that person for quite a while and talking about important issues. So you want to feel that person, the coach, does have your best interest at heart, and that there is some degree of areas that you have in common and you know, can have rapport with that person. So, no, it is a good thing to question, you know, and ask the coach, and they really shouldn't get upset about it.
Okay.
Yeah. They should understand.
Okay. One thing I thought maybe we should touch on is the difference between therapy, mm-hmm. you know, and counseling. You know, how does that differ from having a coach? Because I know there are a lot of women at Midlife who are in therapy, and perhaps maybe instead of being in therapy, if they're looking towards making changes, they should be, you know, they should have a coach. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, and it's a really excellent question. I have had several people ask me that, and it is definitely worth clarifying that. While some people who are therapists become coaches,
okay,
not all coaches are therapists, and there definitely is a difference. Probably the easiest way to describe that would be to say that in therapy, a lot of attention is paid to events in your life in the past, leading up to where you are today.
Okay.
If a person may have had trauma or, you know, severe difficulties in their life, a lot of that is gone over with the therapist, and they do spend quite a lot of time thinking and talking about past events.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be extremely useful, necessary, and helpful for a person. In coaching, while sometimes we'll talk about things that may have happened in the past for a specific reason, we mostly spend time talking about where are you right now, where do you want to go. We spend a lot more time looking toward the future and working on getting towards future goals rather than talking about or thinking about the things that may have happened before in your life. So I think that's probably the clearest and quickest way to explain that. If I'm working with a client and I find that the person is having great difficulty moving ahead in her life and
mm-hmm.
seems to be stuck on a certain thing that has happened in her life or is just really, really blocked for some reason that we just can't seem to get through, I may well suggest to that person that perhaps therapy would be a better option right now to get through whatever that particular blockage or difficulty is. And then when that issue has been resolved, please come on back for the coaching.
Okay.
I'm not going to try to coach somebody who clearly is having a difficulty that a therapist would be more helpful.
Okay, that's good to know. So basically then the focus of the therapy is really on the past. I would think also like probably on relationships, and it's based more on feelings. And I would also think that with therapy sometimes, I don't know if I should say this, but I will, but sometimes it is more of, dysfunctional or something, like there's a problem. And that's not necessarily the truth with coaching. So basically with coaching, you're saying you're going to work on the here and now and the future.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come up with a plan or some kind of action or something like that. And, you know, usually the client is probably healthy and resourceful, and if not, you would help them move in that direction either by coaching or, you know, asking that they would get therapy for a certain issue.
Exactly. The coach's aim is to see the see their clients succeed and be
okay.
Totally, you know, fulfilled and enjoying their lives to the fullest. And we help them in action-oriented, as you said, action-oriented ways, setting goals and getting to the goal. And, you know, if I or you know, some other coach were to feel that the person, you know, just couldn't quite do that right now because of a need for therapy, we will, any reputable coach is going to suggest that to the
okay. client. Okay, good. So basically, coaching, and we're pretty much talking about midlife coaching, you try to help them define goals, maybe move them in a new direction. I guess you offer resources or strategies, and in a few minutes we're going to go through like a few sample clients. But you know, I guess you help with decision making and just making sure people stay on target, and you support them along the way, and just keep them on track, right?
I help them stay on track. Yeah, idea is to help them keep themselves on track.
Okay. Okay.
It's a very exciting and empowering thing.
Okay. So they're looking for, like, you know, contentment and maybe something new and different, and you're helping them achieve that goal. Okay. That's good to know. How would someone know if they are ready to hire a coach? I mean, I'll give you an example. I know someone that I think should hire a coach, but when I talk to that person, I think they're just happier being where they are and kind of commiserating than actually hiring someone and doing something about it. I just don't think they're ready to hire a coach, even though I might think they are. I don't think they are. Do you know what I mean? So what are some, you know, some little flashing lights that would make someone say, it's time to hire that coach.
Yeah. Well, you're probably being very insightful about that person you're talking about, because it is sometimes easier to sit and complain about something than to take action about it,
mm-hmm.
because the changes that might take place if you take action might be scaring you to death,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and that might be a hesitancy on that person's part, because the changes that will take place, you know, she may not know what her life will be like if she makes some changes. If you feel yourself, as I did at one point, which made me take on a coach, I felt very stuck at a point in my life, and particularly this had to do with where I was working at the time, and I thought, well, golly, this just isn't working. Either I'm going to have to quit, or they're going to want to fire me, or something, because somehow I'm not moving forward, I'm not improving, things are just not going well,
mm-hmm.
and that, for me, at that time, was what triggered me to seek some advice, coaching, help, something, and I'm very, very happy that I did, because it worked out wonderfully for me.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an issue with your job. It could be an issue with having reached one of those transition points in our lives,
mm-hmm.
And not being sure which way to go. And perhaps you need somebody to talk to about it who is more impartial, not a family member or a friend. A friend may tell you what they think you want to hear.
Right.
Or a family member may try to take over and run your life for you. But a coach is not going to do that. The coach is going to help you delve into what your thoughts and desires and dreams may be,
mm-hmm.
and then make a plan to help you get there.
Okay, and then coaches also hold you accountable. I would imagine there's like probably homework. So if you're willing to start, you know, jumping in and making the change, and I would imagine fear is a huge barrier for someone in like picking up the phone and making a call to the coach, or and even after the first session, just, oh my gosh, you know, can I really do this? So I would think you're just a big cheerleader also. And they have to be willing to, you know, keep their appointments with you and do the homework and
exactly.
work at achieving the goals and really be committed to making the change.
That's true. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I do often describe it as being a cheerleader,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not living that person's life, but I get really excited
mm-hmm.
when I get a report back from them about something great that has happened. I'm not sure who gets more excited about it, they or me. But, you know, you'll hear me cheering and going woohoo, you know, on the phone to them. And I've had it happen where I was shopping one day in the store and my cell phone went off and I answered it. And it was one of my clients who was basically beside herself. She was so excited that she had actually done something she was terrified to do, and it worked out really well.
Oh,
and
good.
I was jumping up and down in the store. I kind of embarrassed myself because I was so excited on her behalf. You know, I was like, all right, you go for it. You know, and I was really happy. So I take a lot of joy out of those kind of phone calls. That's really exciting. And the accountability you spoke about, it's a very important part of the coaching. We'll talk at a session about, okay, between now and next week, you know, what do you plan on doing? You know, what are you going to put on that list of goals and accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And if they know they're going to talk to me again next week, there's this urgency to get it done. Maybe
mm-hmm.
by 11:30 the night before they're going to talk to me, but whatever works. And it does help people move forward with things that they didn't think they could accomplish just because they know somebody's going to ask them about it.
And I can totally relate to that because I have been coached for different parts of the business, and I know I was told what I should be doing like 2 months ago. And the way I'm coached is I do occasional coaching sessions, and just
mm-hmm.
from listening to you and thinking while you're talking, I'm thinking, no, I should have like every 2 weeks I should be coached, and that because that's the accountability.
Yeah.
Because I'm setting up a coaching session for like 2 weeks from now, because I'm finally getting around to saying, you know what, this is what I need to do, and I remember how she told me to do it, and now I need to do it. So if I was being coached on a regular basis, I'd be a little bit ahead of my plan. So
yeah.
That's interesting, and that's good information. Okay, I guess before we get on to like proposing three different clients, like midlife clients to you, I would just like to know why you decided upon baby boomer women as your niche.
Okay. Well, I went into coaching because I felt it was a natural thing for me. I seemed to fill that role without even realizing for years and years that I was doing that. And then when I went and actually got the training, they told us in coaching school, don't make the mistake of thinking you can just coach the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're too non-specific about it, you're not going to end up, you know, doing well for the people that you try to coach. So being very specific and having a niche is something that they definitely told us to do. And at first I didn't believe them,
mm-hmm.
but I realized pretty soon after I was starting to actually do the coaching, yeah, you know, they actually were right. There was a reason to it. The reason that I did select my niche to be baby boomer women is because I personally find this particular time of life, and I'm 55, and I enjoy saying how old I am, this is a very exciting time of life for me. When I was approaching my 50th birthday, I was like a kid waiting for the holiday. I was so excited because I had this very strong feeling that age 50 was a dividing line for me. And once I crossed over that threshold, I felt I could call myself the wise woman, going into the wise woman phase of life. And I was very, very excited about that.
Okay.
And looking around, I realized that some women were very, very unhappy at the thought of turning 50. It was a reason to get depressed and downhearted. And I was totally the opposite extreme. I was very, very excited about it. And I have found it to be a really wonderful me time in my life. As you mentioned, I've got two grown kids. My daughter will be 30 this year. My son's 27. And I thoroughly enjoyed being home with my kids and being a mother to them while I was doing that and, you know, raising them through, how much can we say we enjoyed raising them through teenager years? But nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
we all survived it. And you know, every phase of the life that I lived, you know, when I was raising my kids, I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But now, of course, they're grown out of the home, and that is done with. And I am thoroughly enjoying my life now in the different things that I'm doing, whether it was in the corporate world or now as a coach. I'm just finding it's a time for exploration, learning new things, doing new things, going new places. I wish to get on a plane and go fly someplace and attend a seminar or something to that effect. Well, gee, I can because I have that freedom now to be able to do that, and it's really very exciting.
I can totally relate because I've just launched my kids, and I'm in the empty nest, and I'm in the very same spot. So this is my year to get out and attend conferences and do those kinds of things. I can really relate to what you're saying. You know, from my perspective, it would be important if I was going to have a midlife coach or someone at midlife to coach me into the, you know, kind of, you know, help me jump out of my nest and into the next project or the next season. It's important to have a coach that is kind of jazzed about where she is if you're in the same place. So I think that's a benefit to having, you know, a like one of your peers basically working with you. So if you do coaching for boomer women, I would just be curious to know what's your personal outlook on aging. It sounds like, you know, you don't have an issue with it. Some people, I'm going to a 50th birthday party in a couple weeks, and, you know, some people are like, oh, my gosh, you know, 50, and other people are like, oh, I've never been happier, you know. So
exactly.
It that sounds like that's what your outlook is.
Well, for me, yes, definitely. Of course, you know, we kid around, and you have the black balloons and over the hill and all
right,
that.
Right, right.
You know, that nonsense at a 50th birthday, or a 40th or a 60th even, but, you know, and that's kidding around. Hopefully, it's all kidding around, and that's not the person's outlook. But as I mentioned, I was very excited myself to turn 50, yet I knew of a person, you know, in the family who literally took to her bed crying that entire day, and I thought, oh, my Lord, that is so, so
yeah.
sad, you know, and I would
yeah.
hate to think of anybody doing that. And so to some degree, that's maybe you could say that's part of my mission, to help women, guide baby boomer women in what I consider to be a very exciting adventure.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, let me just give you three different scenarios, and after we talk about these, we'll open the lines for some questions because I'm sure people have some specific questions for you. I'll tell you what the three scenarios are, and then we'll just go from there. I'm thinking of women at midlife, and there's probably women, I'm sure, who've been in the corporate field or worked at whatever job they've had to work at for all these years to pay the bills and you know, make ends meet. And they've come to the point where they're saying, oh, gosh, I really just want to go off and do my own thing. And so they either become an entrepreneur at midlife or they just stop doing what they've been doing and decide to do something that they're more passionate about. That would be one client. Mm-hmm. Do you call them clients or patients? Or
client.
Client,
yeah.
Okay.
Patient is more like with a doctor, so
okay.
Call my client.
All right. And then the other person I'm thinking of is one who has been a stay-at-home mom who's totally devoted themselves to caring for their families, and they're addressing the empty nest. It's either staring them in the face or it's already empty and they're wishing they had done something sooner.
Right.
And then the last scenario, and I'm sure you probably have people in these scenarios, I hope. So,
yeah, I'm thinking of people right at the moment. I'm thinking of some people, yeah.
Okay, good. And then the other one would be someone, this is probably a little different. It's someone who is in the sandwich situation,
mm-hmm.
And maybe they have been very busy caring for their children. Their children are maybe teenagers, or maybe their children are like 4 or 5 years old, because there are boomers who have children that young. And then in addition to that, their parents are sick, or their parents need more attention than what they've been giving them through the years for, you know, whatever reason, medical, health reasons. And perhaps they aren't interested in, like, a totally new life, but they're just trying to find some balance and maybe are more interested in self-care or something like that. So I don't know which one you want to start with, but if you could just, you know, without giving us all of your, you know, too many freebies and all your little secrets, if you wouldn't mind just telling us, like, if they came to you, what advice might you give them, kind of in a nutshell, just a couple things so that if anyone's on the call and is interested in being coached, they could get an idea of how you would go about it.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the corporate woman because I was that up until last April.
Okay.
I was in the corporate world, very much entrenched in it. And for those who find themselves in that position, and as you said, a lot of times we may have done work or taken jobs somewhat based on what fit well with our family life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, so, you know, not so much jobs that really lit our fire, but well, this will work well with the family. It's close enough for commuting or the hours work with my family, and I know that I did that.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of women who do that, right?
So they weren't always like, you know, the end-all, be-all jobs, but it worked okay. Basically, you know, it paid the bills and, you know, helped life go on. For the woman who may feel I've had enough of this already,
mm-hmm.
And it's time for something else, mm-hmm. The first thing I would want to do would be to brainstorm with her and have her really dig deep and think in terms of the things that either she has done at the job she currently is or at jobs before or maybe as a volunteer, the kinds of activities that really touch her soul, that really are fulfilling and make her excited and
mm-hmm.
want to do them. So that would be a starting point
mm-hmm.
To then come to realize, you know, besides whatever work I have done just because I had to, what kinds of things have I done that I really enjoyed? And
mm-hmm.
probably at the job, there were at least some things about the job that were enjoyable, and pick those elements out, and then think in terms of what I like to do. Sometimes we can do a job really well, but it doesn't exactly turn us on,
mm-hmm.
so you don't necessarily want to go to that again. But I would brainstorm with her to come up with those things that are the most enjoyable, that she feels that she would really like to do and spend her time on, and then work from there to help her investigate where she could find a job, where she could use those abilities and be able to play out her passions and her enjoyment at a job, and hey, get paid for it too.
Okay. Great. All right. I have a few questions for you about that one.
Sure.
You did mention volunteer work, which is so important because sometimes where women have volunteered is really where their passions lie, I think.
Yes.
And there are ways to take that volunteer work, the experience that you've gotten at volunteer work, at volunteering, and make it work for you. Organizational skills and, you know, running meetings, you know, whatever it may be.
Yes.
So that's important. Do you ever tell people to basically just be still? And I mean, do you ever tie in spirituality in any way? I'm just curious. I just want to know, you know, where you're coming from. Do you ever?
Right. Well, for different clients, and I will be getting a feel for this with them as I talk with them. Some have their spiritual life is exceedingly important, and for others, it's not as big an issue. So that's, you know, and I'm not going to make a judgment on somebody about that. I will work with them, you know, where they are in the world,
okay,
what they want to do. And you know, some people do get a very great degree of spiritual satisfaction out of the volunteer work that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily with a church or anything, but just the giving to people or to a cause or something like that. And that just fills them up with great joy. That's a very spiritual experience.
Right. Okay. Okay. And then when you help them on that path, so what? Let me just have some specific examples. So you would say, okay, go to these websites, read these books, consider these things. You're very specific about what they're supposed to do for the next session. Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of times I will talk to them. I'll have a series of questions that I send them, and the email is just fabulous. You know, you can email it to somebody, they can work on it and email it back. And there'll be certain questions that I will give them to sit quietly and think about, because a lot of times we don't give ourselves permission to do that.
Right.
We're so busy doing it for other people or helping other people solve their problems that we don't sit and just give ourselves the luxury of the quiet time to sit and write or journal, or just even sit and think about what we might want.
Right.
And that can be one of the biggest things that happens to somebody who's being coached. It's having that special time, making an appointment in your calendar or whatever you have to do to give yourself that time and that permission to really sit and think, what do I want? How do I want my life to be?
Yeah, because as women, we are so busy taking care of everybody else that we're the ones who are often neglected. And so I would think that is important. Okay, let's move on because we're running out of a little time. But what about somebody who's always been a stay-at-home mom and, you know, they're addressing the empty nest, kind of planning for the next season? I would think, and I'm not sure, but I would think that there are maybe some certain skills that they would have to learn, bring themselves up to date with the computer or any other technology that perhaps they haven't witnessed after not being in the workforce for so many years.
That's very possible. And I do some volunteer work for an organization here in my county, which is for displaced homemakers, they're called, women who are suddenly having to go back out into the workforce due to, you know, radical life changes, sudden widowhood or whatever. And, yeah, a lot of them do have to start almost from zero as far as computer skills, you know, learning how to work the Internet, the different software packages, et cetera. So there are some things that I would sort of help the person do a bit of a self-assessment and say, okay, you know, what do I know how to do? What might I need to learn how to do? And then talk with them about places they might go for some of that help free or at a very low cost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the library offers classes like that, or the adult ed through their local high schools, you know, the adult ed courses. So there are places to go and learn these things where you don't have to spend a fortune. And you know, can brush up your skills and learn how to do those things to then be able to walk out there with a little more self-confidence.
Right.
Yes, you know, I am part of the 21st century here, and I can do these things. You know, if the kids can do it, I can do it, you know, and they can, in fact. I'm thinking in particular of you were mentioning about resumes and volunteer work. One of the women I was coaching sort of had that slightly defeated attitude, like, well, I've only ever done volunteer work. And I said, hold on a second, what did you do there? And then she started rattling off this big fundraiser that she ran,
mm-hmm.
and the newsletter she put out, and just a whole bunch of things. And I said, excuse me, that's a very impressive resume if you would just write it all down.
Sure. So do you actually help them with resumes, or could you put them in touch with people to help with resumes? So that you're basically looking at the whole package there.
Yeah, right. I mean, there are places online where you can do resumes online, mm-hmm. and work with them, and I would certainly have no problem, you know, critiquing one. You know, my client would send me one, and I would look it over and maybe make a suggestion here and there of, you know, buff it up a little bit or add something to it, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, to give them a bit of a boost that way, and that's exciting, helping people, package themselves and market themselves out to the world. That's a pretty exciting thing.
Okay, and that's definitely included in what you do.
It can. It certainly can be. With
okay.
each client, it's very specific to each client, where she needs to go, what she needs to do.
Okay, and then just very quickly, the woman who is in the sandwich situation and is in need of more self-care, what
right.
are a few things you might do with them?
Well, if you find yourself in that position where you've got the kids on one side that still need you and then parents on the other side who need a lot more from you, it's very draining. It's very draining. And a lot of times women will feel, I can handle it. I can do it. You know, one more thing on my shoulders, I can carry it. And we make the mistake of putting ourselves last on the list all the time. And you can only do that for just so long before you pay a price.
Right.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, you're going to physically get sick. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. Something's going to happen if you don't think in terms of self-care. And being a caregiver for elderly parents or a spouse who might be ill, that's a very wearing thing
mm-hmm.
if you don't get your own batteries recharged. And,
right. So what would you tell someone?
Well, for one thing, recognize that fact and don't try to be superwoman all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There are places to reach out to for some assistance. I would suggest that they seek all those avenues, sometimes through church, sometimes through a county agency. There are ways to get at least a few hours here and there of time when the sick person or elderly person could be cared for, and then the woman herself can just go someplace.
Right.
With friends, take a long, hard bath, a walk, do something to get her own self taken care of. And not pay a huge price,
right.
which she might otherwise.
So you would help them look at those kinds of resources and,
mm-hmm.
and just hold them accountable to, you know, checking the resources out and perhaps taking X amount of minutes a day to do something for themselves, or, you know, did you do any reading this past week? What did you do for yourself? So that's the kind of thing that you would do.
For sure, and hold
okay.
them accountable to that. Because a lot of times when you're in the midst of a problem like that, you just can't see your way out.
Right.
And you just need somebody with a flashlight
right.
you know, to help guide you a little bit.
Yeah, and someone outside of the family I think is really important. Okay, that I think is pretty much all the questions that I have. Do you have anything else you want to add before we see if there's anyone who has any questions for you?
I think that's covered a lot of ground, Dr.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it. I'm really pretty eager to hear what some of the folks out there might want to ask.
Okay, good. Okay, if there's anyone on the line who has a question, what you need to do is push the number 6 button. That will unmute you, and we'll start taking questions. Let's see if anybody's going to be bold and ask a question. Does anybody have a question this evening?
I can't say that there's – this is Phyllis. I can't
say
there's
Phyllis.
Necessarily a question as much as you keep stirring my mind. And as I look at all the different areas that I turn, I work with the elderly. I work with trying to convince people to go into the in-home care services for respite. As Stacy knows, I'm working on putting together a respite day for the caregivers and women with physical challenges. I'd like to do that throughout the United States, and I'd like to give them once a month a day to go and be somewhere.
I was thinking of you, Phyllis, as she was speaking about that. So I'm glad you spoke up and shared your information.
I have an in-home care service, Visiting Angels, that is nationwide, that wants to be there to help out, to be able to relieve somebody, let's say, for 4 hours so they can get a massage, so they can go to a tea party, that type of thing.
Do you want to give those web addresses?
For which one? You mean
either one. You can give the Visiting Angels or your personal address.
Well, my personal address is, you want the email address?
Yes, yes.
All right. It's Elder Care Concierge, CONCIERGE, at Comcast.net.
No, wait a minute. I don't think that's right. Eldercareconcierge.com or .net or...
If we're talking about the email address...
We're talking about the web address.
All right. Okay, that is...
Eldercareconcierge.net. Okay, and then what about the Visiting Angels?
I don't have them offhand. I have the... I pull them up. I've got a phone number, and I pull them up from the Internet.
Okay, so
but
if anybody is...
If anybody wants that, I can definitely give them.
Yes, and this is Phyllis Slater, and Phyllis is a member. She's in the member directory, so you can either look her up through her site or through the member directory. Do you have a question, Phyllis?
My biggest problem is that everything revolves around money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great to have a coach if you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to do my projects if you have the money. Unfortunately, I'm the type that would give the world for free if I could, but nothing gets done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's money. I can't do some of these things. I'd love to go around the world, you know, around the United States at these bed and breakfasts myself. I can't afford it. I'm on disability.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to put together care baskets and be able to put my book and information from other members in a gift basket and be able to give them.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to do free respite days for women, but again, it's money.
Right.
Companies are really starving. They don't have the ability to give out the charity that they used to. So that's the biggest thing, and my fear is going out and finding a way of making the money so I can do what I need to do.
Okay. So do you have a question in particular, or you're just commenting? That could be, and that could very well be the case for many people. I mean, maybe they'd want to be coached, but they can't afford it or something. I don't know.
And it's the fear. It's how do you get over the fear of reaching out and asking where can you get the money to do what you need to do, coming out of somebody else's pocket. Where do I find the first step to go to even looking at anything that is a sense of reality to it?
Right, right. Well, I don't know, Gail, if you have an answer for that.
Well, for one thing, anybody on this call gets a free coaching session with me, so we can certainly talk about that. There is also the concept of bartering.
Mm-hmm.
Bartering skills and services that you have with someone else. So money doesn't change hands. But, you know,
good idea. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do something that I might not be able to do, and, you know, vice versa. So there may be ways to get some of what you want to do done through an exchange of services rather than money.
Okay.
Okay.
Very
okay.
Good.
Does anybody else on the call have a question for Gail? Anyone else bold enough to ask a question? It doesn't sound like it. How about that? I kind of thought we'd have quite a few questions, but
sometimes
maybe
when you're on the spot, it's hard to come up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they just have their act together and don't need you.
Yeah, everybody on the call has their act together and doesn't need a coach. Wouldn't that be nice?
Then refer a friend.
Yeah.
Hey, Dottie, I have a question.
Sure.
This is Mary, and I was, I was just curious, Gail, what if, you know, if I was thinking, okay, well, I think I have a challenge in front of me. I'm not quite sure you know, I feel a little stuck, like you were saying before.
Right.
And if I was going to do a, you know, take you up on your offer, which I think is very generous to talk to you, I, you know, I've not worked with a coach before. What would that be like? Because you know, I don't know. I'd just like to understand what that involves.
Like what you're getting into. You want to know exactly
well,
what you're getting into.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I'm getting into, like, Gail doesn't seem to be an intimidating person, but I'm not sure what a session is like. You know,
okay.
You know, so I was wondering if you could describe that.
Oh, sure. Well, that's a great idea. Thank you. The initial session, once we, you know, we exchanged emails and determined a time to get together, what I would likely do would send the person an email with a little bit of information about me, just so that she has a better feeling for who I am and you know, who she's going to be talking to, and perhaps with a few sort of standard questions for the person to write about and, you know, email back to me. And then when we actually start the session, often I have some tools, written tools that I use to help the person talk about different areas of the life and rate parts of the life on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being fantastic, 1 being just barely making it. How do you feel about your career? And other topics like that we would go through, and she could rate those areas of her life, and then we can look at it and go, okay, well, in the areas where you rate your life at a 10, perhaps that's not an area you want to coach, but in the areas where you rate your life at a 2 or a 3, maybe those are areas we want to work on. And it's up to the person, it's her agenda, what areas she may want to talk about at any given time. And we will start where she wants to start. And then as the rapport develops between us and the relationship, and she may be more willing and have a desire to talk about other parts of her life, we can move on to other things. But it's not that I'm going to try to take over her life and remake it. I'm going to be working on things with her that she is at least some in some degree willing and ready to talk about and work on. And then we move on from there.
So basically, the client leads you in a way to where they think they want to go, and you just help them stay on track and keep them accountable. Is that right?
I mean,
you're really not the leader. I mean, in a way you are, but in another way the client is, because you want to do what they want you to accomplish in their lives. You want to help them with that.
I'm there to help guide them along and ask the questions that need to be asked,
mm-hmm.
and you know, questions that maybe your family member or friend might not ask,
mm-hmm.
and help you maybe think about things in a different way than you have been.
Mm-hmm.
Look at things in a different light. Again, like that flashlight I was talking about.
Right.
I call the flashlight on parts of your life, or a floodlight,
mm-hmm.
on things in your life to look at, and not in a judgmental way. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong to be doing this or that. If you don't feel you're doing what you ought to be doing, you know that. If you feel that you could be or should be doing something else, you pretty much know that already.
Right.
You basically just need somebody to help you get that escape velocity or feel encouraged enough to go ahead and try it and do it. So to a large degree, it's the client's agenda, the part of her life that she's looking to work on at this time. And very often it's like peeling an onion. You take care of this issue, and then something else comes up that you're ready to work on now. And when that's been dealt with, then maybe something else comes up. And it all unfolds as we go along.
Oh, I think it's exciting. I mean, I think it's really exciting. Mary, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that was a really great answer. Yeah. I appreciate that. You took the mystery out of it.
Okay. Anybody else on the call want to ask a question? We just have like 2 more minutes. Okay. I'm just trying to think if I have any other questions. And I don't think I do. So we can kind of wrap this up by saying, you know, thanks so much, Gail. It's been very helpful. I know I've learned quite a bit this evening. And I'd also just like to remind everyone that Gail's site is www.wisewomanswaywisewomanswaycom. You can reach her through your site. And if you're on the call this evening or a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, you can correspond with her about a free session. And then if you go to her site and sign up for the newsletter, you'll also get a free ebook. And I know with these types of relationships, like sometimes people will sign up for the newsletter and get it a couple times and then, you know, feel like they really connect with the coach and then start to correspond and then, you know, it kind of goes from there. So hopefully with Gail being on the call this evening, you all, maybe some of you have connected in some way. And I'm sure some of us are listening for ourselves and others are listening for friends. So feel free to share the information. And then I'd also just like to encourage you to tell your friends about the association. And if you do so during the month of January and you refer a friend, you get a free book in addition to the book or magazine that you get with your membership. And then whoever refers – wait a minute. I'm sorry. Let me say this again. If you refer a friend, you get a free book that you'll just receive in the mail. Okay, and that is the Baby Boomer Almanac. And if they join during this month, they also get that extra free book, which is the Baby Boomer Almanac. So I think that's about everything for this evening's call. Again, we love to hear from you at the association, and I would just like to share for those on the call that we have lots of members that we do not know. We know only what we've read about them online. And the way that we line up our teleseminars and feature certain members and, you know, feature people's books and review them for the newsletters, et cetera, is because the members make themselves known to us. So I always encourage members to make yourself known. And that's how Gail got on the call this evening. She sent me a couple emails really wanting, very excited about what she does and wanting me to learn more. And so we ended up talking by phone, and I thought, you know, this is a great topic. So why don't, you know, I'm thinking, what can I do to help this member? And the answer was, let's do a teleseminar. So she has gotten some good publicity because we send this information to our whole mailing list. And then, of course, we only send the phone numbers and the codes to our members. But meantime, other people see her face and, you know, perhaps click on the link in the newsletters, and it just really helps spread the word. So I encourage if you, the members that are on the phone, that if you are interested in being profiled in any way with the association, to make yourself known just by emailing us. So I think that's everything for this evening. Again, thanks, Gail, and thanks, everyone, for being on the call, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks
good
so
night.
Much, Dr.
You're welcome, Gail. Good night.
Take care.